Gary McCord has Phil Mickelson gambling stories.
Wow.
Anyway.
Scotty Mitch, I bet, gambles on the golf course.
He was just down in Vegas, so I'll bet you he was. How do you go to Vegas and not gamble? But
hello?
How about,
I can't hear you.
How about this before we bring him in? Kevin Biggio has been reinstated from the COVID-related IL and optioned to AAA.
No way.
Here is Scott Mitchell, our TSN Jays reporter. What do you make of Biggio on his way down through the QEW to Buffalo? What's going on here?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't say that's a huge surprise at this point. You know, the guy needs at-bats. He just hasn't been able to find regular at-bats, and he needs to go down there and perform, essentially. And you know, I think we've talked about this before, and it's been an interesting little bit of a slide for him over the last couple of years. I mean, in 2020, you know, when they were in Buffalo and he had that kind of scorching hot start, man, this guy looked like, you know, had figured things out and really become a key piece alongside, you know, the other guys. And, you know, I always thought he was going to kind of be a role player, but, you know, the injuries over the last couple of years and, you know, just the inability to hit the fastball has really caught up with him. He's really struggled. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see, you know, if he can go down there, kind of get things together, regroup, and then, you know, come up at some point and find a role. But, you know, it's interesting for him right now because he's definitely kind of on the outs when you look at kind of what he's done and what Santiago Espinal has done over these last two seasons in terms of kind of stealing away his role and kind of proving that, you know, he can play a role. So, you know, Biggio's got some work to do, and it all starts with, you know, his ability to catch up to the high fastball. The book on him, you know, got out pretty quickly, and teams are just beating him upstairs, and, you know, hasn't made an adjustment yet.
Scotty, if the team was rolling right now, would this transaction still have happened, or do they both coincide, or what's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't think they really coincide. I think, you know, Biggio just needs that bat, and he's not going to get them regularly up here because other guys have surpassed him on the depth chart, and he just hasn't performed. So, you know, he needs to go down there, play regularly, and you know, perform down there, and then he'll get another crack because he's that lefty bat. He can definitely play a role up here if he's right. But, you know, we haven't seen Kevin Biggio, you know, at his best for, you know, well over a year now, and it's been a rough go for him.
We haven't talked to you, or I haven't talked to you in a while. The last time I did talk to you, A, you made fun of me, and B, the record was impressive, and people around the league were talking about World Series champions, the best team in the league, favorites, pitching's unreal, Vladdy was dialed in, and it's been quite a turnaround. What the hell's going on here?
I mean, yeah, it's baseball, man. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, one week or month, you can look like world beaters, and, you know, the next month, you can kind of have everything go sideways at the same time, and you know, you look at this team, and it's really the equation is they just haven't been able to hit with runners in scoring position. I mean, 185 last in baseball. You know, you're not going to score enough runs to win games. And, you know, really the fact that they're, you know, one game over 500 at this point after struggling, you know, kind of coming out of New York pretty much for the last month or so now, you know, it's pretty amazing because they've, you know, they just haven't been able to hit. And it's kind of stunning when you look at this roster and you look at all the elite bats in this lineup. And, you know, Teoscar Hernandez's absence was a huge blow. And I think, you know, a lot of people, even around this team, kind of recognized how important he was for the lineup construction. And, you know, Charlie Montoya admitted today this team is feeling the pressure in terms of, you know, walking up to the plate and trying to produce at this point. And it's not just the fact that they're getting unlucky with runners in scoring position. They're pressing. They're chasing bad pitches. You know, they're coming out of their approach, you know, with runners on, trying to make something happen. And we're seeing a young team look like a young team at this point. And, you know, these guys are feeling it. I mean, George Springer called the players-only meeting in New York, and they talked. And, you know, they've talked openly about the fact they need to get this going. And, you know, June 20th of last year was the last time they were 500 at 35-35. And if they lose tonight, they're back in that position. And, you know, I don't think anyone would have envisioned this, you know, at this point, you know, 6 weeks ago. But it's baseball. It's a long season. It's mid-May. So, I mean, looking at the standings and playing that game and, you know, the daily, you know, AL East standings watch probably isn't smart to do right now. You know, this team is really, really talented. And, you know, everyone expects them to get it together, and 185 in scoring position, you know, just isn't sustainable in a good way for the Jays because that's going to come back to earth at some point.
When does it go from the Springer players-only meeting and now Biggio's been sent down? What does it take for things to get a little bit uncomfortable and awkward down there?
You know what? Probably an injury or two. I think you can look at this team as a healthy ball club right now and say, look, they're going to find ways to hit. Bo's going to be better. Vladdy's even going to be better. His numbers look kind of human at this point. But, you know, you get one injury, maybe in the rotation. You know, Tim Mays on the IL tonight isn't something that should go unnoticed because he's been such a key part of that bullpen, especially with Jordan Romano kind of being up and down over the last little bit. His velocity has been down at times, which is obviously concerning for a guy who's 98, 99, 100 last year, and then this year he's more 95, 96. So, you know, I think health is so, so vital over these next few weeks and a couple months, because if you have, you know, a couple debilitating injuries, that's when things can start to go sideways, even for the best of teams.
How has Charlie been through this? Are the bongos, like, lit on fire and they don't come out, or is he still kind of happy-go-lucky and understands that when the team's struggling, you just can't go nuts and be a completely different person?
Yeah, I mean, look, Charlie's a little sketchy at the best of times in terms of, you know, how he presents himself and the confidence he portrays. And, you know, I think when you look at some of the pressure on this team right now, I mean, we talked about it for months. I mean, they're high expectations and, you know, these kids are feeling it. Montoya's feeling a little bit. And, you know, he finally kind of mixed and matched the lineup a little bit on the weekend, got a little bit of results in Tampa on Saturday. But when you look at this, yeah, I mean, you're going to get into the next couple of weeks, and if they don't start hitting, you're going to have to start getting desperate, moving guys around. And, you know, I think everyone looks at this team and just believes there's too much talent because, like I said, there haven't been those debilitating injuries. It's a healthy team. You know, the bad luck with runners in scoring position kind of has to change at some point. But when you start to talk about a young baseball club feeling the pressure, I mean, you know, that's the variable that you can't really quantify about how this is going to go. And, you know, Charlie's a manager who's been around 4 years now, and, you know, there's pressure on him. And this is the first year he's kind of felt that, because I think the last couple of years have kind of been, you know, house money for him, just kind of, you know, stewarding a young team back into contention. And now things are real. And, you know, if they fall back to 500 tonight, people are going to talk about that. And, you know, it's a big homestand because these are some games you probably should win.
Scotty, our host, Brian Hayes. Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you, Jeff. With Scott Mitchell, our TSN Jays reporter. You mentioned the lineup moving around. Really, that was Bichette that stood out, where Saturday and Sunday he moved into the cleanup spot. The lineup's out today, and he's going back into the two-hole. He was hitless over the weekend. He's got an OPS now down to 619. I mean, ultimately, that's where it starts for me. Like, Bichette, he's getting tons of at-bats, and he is not hitting at all. He's not slugging at all. He's not hitting for power. He's striking out too much. At some point, it's got to give. But what can realistically happen, you know, to trigger that? And once you've moved him back, now you're moving him back into the two-hole, they're not going to embarrass him and hit him seventh or eighth. So what do they do with Bichette?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you look, when they went out on this road trip, it looked like he was really getting it together, starting to find his swing and find his groove. And it's interesting, you mentioned the power, and you know, that's where, you know, this lineup has gone sideways for me. Is Bo Bichette, Teoscar Hernandez, who missed a good chunk of time, and Lourdes Gurriel, they've accounted for 7 home runs total. And, you know, we're sitting here in mid-May. That's just not going to cut it from, you know, guys who are supposed to really be producing. And yeah, Bo, they got to figure out, you know, what to do. And I think when you look at what Charlie said tonight, what, you know, kind of what the party line is, they're just waiting for one guy to get hot, and then it kind of starts to take the pressure off of other guys. And Bo was probably that guy when Montoya said these guys are feeling the pressure. I think Bo is probably the guy he's pointing to most, because, you know, I've seen him around the clubhouse, and, you know, this is a frustrated guy who hasn't experienced much, you know, lack of success and much failure in his career up to this point. And you can definitely look at this as the toughest time, you know, at any time as a pro, because he raked through the minor leagues. He raked when he came up in 2019, 2020, last year. You know, there really weren't these huge dips in terms of the power. And when you look at how hard he's been hitting the ball, the power should be there. So I think everyone's kind of confident that he's going to turn it around. But yeah, we're sitting here in mid-May. He's got 3 home runs, and you know, that's just not the Bichette this club needs. Because I was talking about him as a sneaky dark horse MVP candidate 6 weeks ago.
So Seattle's up here, which means Robbie Ray was supposed to be up here, but he's not. And I think we're all connecting the same dots based on vaccination status. If we're connecting those dots correctly, how big of a factor would that play into the lack of re-signing in Toronto, the Jays attacking Kevin Gausman in the offseason. Where does all of this kind of connect for the Blue Jays and Robbie Ray?
Yeah, there's a couple of variables there. I think obviously the notion here is that Ray is unvaccinated. You know, them lining him up to pitch yesterday and then not even bringing him to Toronto. So, you know, that's really no secret. And I think when you look at what the Blue Jays were doing in the offseason, I can tell you with 100% certainty that they preferred Kevin Gausman over Robbie Ray. And I think we're seeing, you know, why, really, because Gausman has been so, so excellent. But, you know, I think money talks. I think you have to talk to Ray about where that threshold was of him getting vaxxed. And, you know, I think if he had an offer, you know, on the table that was similar to what the Blue Jays were offering, which was, you know, the case from everything that I've heard, because the Blue Jays didn't shy away from trying to re-sign him. They were talking to him pretty much all offseason, and, you know, they got pretty much matching contracts. I think, you know, Ray, if that was his personal preference to not get vaccinated, obviously you take the team in the States and go that route. But, you know, I think the variable for me that, you know, people need to know is that Gausman over Ray was the Blue Jays front office choice and their first choice. So this wasn't, you know, a case of Ray saying, I won't get vaxxed, and the Blue Jays having to pivot.
Scott, thanks for doing this. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, though. Appreciate that, pal.
No problem.
All right, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. I'll jump on top of that.
Wow.
Noodles, do you want to say goodbye?
Jerry King over
there. Yeah, I know, man. I just constantly, that finger was going to break. It was in the air every single question.
I had the Phil Mickelson finger.
You had the Phil Mickelson. I was Gary McCord. I'm sitting here saying, let me get in on this.
You're going to get strangled with that mustache if you don't shut up, Jerry McCord.
Jerry McCord. Right before the PGA, poor Phil. I can't believe he's not there. He'd be speaking yesterday. You talk about audio. We'd have the Leafs speaking tomorrow and Phil at the PGA.
There's a great piece out there. I actually read a piece. It was like, what a turn of events from 1 year ago.
Yeah.
This guy was walking on the 18th green, winning the PGA championship. And to think of where he is in one calendar year, it's outrageous.
Yeah, it's a huge fall from grace. Massive fall from grace. Phil Mickelson,
a lot of it is self-inflicted.
Out. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All of it.
That's the thing. Like, it's not, you know, bad luck. It's, you know, bad decisions. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, and there's a lot more behind the curtain, too. A lot more there that the public just isn't aware of. Right. I'm not aware of. It's not like I'm privy to it. I don't know what's up with Phil, but it seems like it's pretty bad.
Well, it seems like now that he's down, there's some people that are distancing themselves from him.
And they love kicking, too.
And going out of their way to kick him in the pills on the way out. Now, that might come where people, when he was on top, he might have treated some people poorly.
That's the way.
You know what?
That's the way it can go.
You know, I can't wait to kick you in the nuts on the when people find out the real you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it just seems like there are certain things. If you have a good reputation and people like you, for the most part, they'll give you the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't seem like he's getting anything of the benefit of the doubt around here.
Not right now, he's not. But I think he's lucky that this whole scene coincides with Tiger Woods. Arrival, right? Like a return. Because everything's about Tiger again. Right. Like everything's pictures of Tiger at Southern Hills. What's Tiger going to do? The whole story this week is Tiger again. Like Scottie
Scheffler.
Have
you ever seen so many pics and vids of a guy in a practice round?
He's arrived. My God. There he is. Look at the shirt he's wearing. He's wearing the FootJoy shoes again.
Yeah, he's walking up a hill. Looks butter.
Yeah.
But he's got the shoes on.
He's still got the
that
same shoes.
That caused a stir.